January 17th, 2017. It's the Watch Pedro Show. Why from Pedro Show, you just heard our guest, Brother Matt, indisposed. He's not for the whole show, but he had to run down the stairs and have me here at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point, somewhere north of the equator, but west of Greenwich Mean Time. And you heard the voice through the magic of Skype, those wonderful software engineers in Estonia. Thank you, most grateful, to bring us John Paul Pitts in his new home, Oakland. From Surfer Blood. Thanks for coming aboard there, John.
Oh, thank you guys for having us. No, I just want to say it's a real honor to be on your show, Mike. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, wow. You're a great guy. we got to thank our the socket man, Lucky Pierre, was David Newgarden.
David.
He made me aware of the new record. When I heard it, I was like, fuck, man, I'd love to talk to these cats. And he made it happen. He made it happen. So we heard Love Supreme Part 2 Resolution, and this was a breakdown version. They didn't get all the way through it, but even John Coltrane had a band where they sometimes blew clams. Can you believe it? And then we heard something from the new album, Surfer Blood, Dino J. Dino J. Do you know Jay Maskus?
He's someone I've seen around at festivals and stuff. He's really, an idol of mine.
I was wondering.
He's pretty aloof.
He's a little shy, but when he talks about his band, he always calls it Dino.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always. So,
cool.
Now, his name, it's always a letter, and not even with a period, because him and his pop had the same name, I think Joe.
Right.
So,
signature, it's just a J, just one letter, yeah.
Yeah, but no period.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and just a little minutia there if you wanted to know. It stands for Joe, his pop's name. He wrote a song about his pop called Feel the Pain, because his pop was a dentist. Hey, Brother Matt,
hey.
Was a success.
Yeah.
Retrieve some CD from the coach.
A nice chunk.
That's great.
It is a good chunk,
We're talking about John. And his tune Dino Jay, and maybe connection with Jay Maskus, but let's go all the way back. John, what's your earliest musical memory?
My earliest musical memory: listening to music, playing music,
whatever music, hearing it, being washed with it, bathed.
I have vague recollections of my dad playing Creedence around the house, and that was like the first time I ever remember hearing a song over and over again, and wanting to hear it again, wanting to sing along to it.
It's music in the pad. And where's this? This is in South Florida.
Yep, in West Palm Beach. That's where I born and raised for 20-something years. So yeah.
So you heard some of that Bayou music.
What Creedence song? What Creedence song rings out?
Yeah, Brother Matt asked, what Creedence song was it? Can you remember? Or album?
He would play the greatest hits. Have you ever seen The Rain, Bad Moon Rising, all that stuff? He was from Savannah, Georgia, so he kind of liked more twangy music. He was into a lot of country, too. That was rock music.
Creedence got a lot of swamp, a lot of R&B, a lot of soul. There's a lot of stuff.
There.
I mean, there is that country thing, too. But I was going to say about anthologies. Sal Zantz must have repackaged their shit so many different times. I always know them. Like, if you ride in the boat with Watt, you're getting all six albums. Mm-hmm. I won't call Mardi Gras. I won't call the seventh one. There's no time, So... But you're going to get all six of them, and you're going to get them in a row.
Nice.
Okay, so your first music thing. So was your pop a player or just a listener?
He's a finger picker. He had this old Epiphone nylon guitar.
Okay, so he's a guitarist. So you had music in the house being played, too.
Yeah, he would play. He had a really good ear. He could kind of pick out songs. And just do kind of a chord melody thing with them, hearing them once or twice, and, no training, just played with his thumb, nothing else, but, he had a really good ear for music.
And was it for fun, or did he do gigs?
Oh, no, he never played for anyone outside the family. He's an engineer. He's kind of a, he's got the glasses and the pocket protector and all that. He's one of those guys, but, you know, he...
Well, who had glasses in Creedence? Stu Cook.
Yeah.
And he ended up opening a pizza chain in the Bay Area after Creedence. But the thing I really liked he did after Creedence was he produced the Rocky Erickson album. The one with the letters you don't know how to pronounce because you don't know how to say them. I think in U.S. it got later on released as the evil one, but the one in England, the CBS one, had like a dog ripping out of his head with all the splatter and the letters was like some alien. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Stu Cook produced that. It was a really good sound. Okay, that's okay. He's got the, double duty. He's got the parallel universe going. Pocket protectors are okay. But he's playing, and in fact, you got the music in the pad, so you're hurling. What about your mom? Did she play?
No, my mom is a musical.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when's the first time you... Let's put it this way. What was the first record you bought?
I think the first record I ever bought was Dookie by Green Day. It was a huge record at the time. I think the first time I tried to learn on guitar was When I Come Around.
So you had a guitar, or were you using your pop's guitar?
I was using my dad's guitar, but I really started playing. I had a friend when I was about 14, 15 years old who got a guitar for Christmas one year.
Yeah.
And he was not into it, and I was always at his house, you know, playing it. He had a tube screamer, and, you know, that was pretty much it for me.
Oh, electric guitar.
Exactly, yeah, that was a whole new world for me.
Yeah, because your pop's acoustic man. Okay, so you start learning off of the Green Day records. Mm-hmm. Did you ever do music in school? You know, the school band?
You know, I did not. Other members of the band did a lot of music in high school.
That's okay.
But not me, I was always kind of around it, but never in the band.
You know, I want to play a song off your first record, Floating Vibes. What's this song about? I've always wondered what's it about.
Oh, God. Well, you know, there's so much reverb on the vocals, it's probably tough to understand the lyrics. But the song's kind of about, you know, me and my little sister. I got a sister who lives in New York. She's also kind of musical, but more of an artist. you know, and I'm not going to go into it too much because, you know... Don't want her to hear this, but
that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen.
Tide will break in. but you can't take it to the bank, and you can't take it back. Draw me a picture of the last scene you remember as a mariner, he said. He drew a picture of himself sitting on a bench, his sailor's hat cocked to one side, the coffee cup on the table. He asked her jokingly, "How do you want me, ma'am? Hobbled and ironed?" She helped him look. How far back? He didn't know. Down in the sea, to the bottom drawer, they found his papers, water-stained and brown. He pulled them out and waved and yelled, as if he had found a passage toward the wild fix of stars or the Isle of Capri.
When I fall, be there for me, my friend. When demons call, will you help me to stand tall again? 'Cause I feel small, and every day I'm shrinking. Life's no ball, barely water, but still sinking. Greatest fear that I've ever known.
Are blown by broken hearts. I'd rather be in Kansas, where everything is dead and gone, except the smell inside a 1948 Mercury, with soft green lights on the dash, memories that await the children of a ruined world.
Water, but
Everybody makes mistakes. Well, I sure make a lot.
Everybody makes mistakes. But I sure make a lot. Dear diary, the store won't hire me. My family fired me. My dog lies to me. Everybody makes mistakes.
You're a liar.
For Pedro Show. Yeah, we heard Floating Vibes, Surfer Blood, off their first album. That goes out to John's sister. What's her name?
Her name is Julia.
That's for you.
And she's
Julia.
A big Miniman fan, so you know, wow. She'll be stoked to hear about this.
All right, B-Boom, George Hurley. Then we heard the Clubber Lang Gang with Charlie Ply Miles doing Man Overboard. Charlie, an old, I shouldn't say old, less younger poet from the Beat days. He put out the first Zap Comics, not too far from where you're living now. More in the city, it was Gow, what did they say, Gow? That street?
I think so.
It's, you know, Vincent Van Gogh, I think it's called, but they say Gow there. And then we had Billions of Comrades out of Belgium with Cheval, R4, R04 out of Tokyo, brand new, Keep Inside, original mix. MB Jones with the demo out of West Mass. That's Jay Mask's territory. Mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Tenko out of Tokyo from the 90s. That's Dookie time. Antagata Dokosa. Las Victimas Civiles. Huh? What's, and it's Citizen Victims.
Oh.
Out of Valencia. Brand new band. Coca-Cola Creative Commons. All right. Negative Scanner out of Chicago, Planet of Slums. Hardcore Chamber Music from Manlio Maresca and Manuel Ferreras out of Terracina, Italy, not Roma. And finally, the Flat Five, Bluebirds in Michigan. That's from the good people in Bloodshot there in Chicago. Okay, you got a buddy who's got electric guitar. He don't want to play it, but you go to his pad to play, to learn by... off records by doing. So you didn't write songs at first. You're copying, like me and D. Boone, copy off records. Georgie.
Yeah, pretty much. Just playing along the records at first. And then I discovered you could plug a microphone into a computer and record your own songs. And that was, you know, that was it. I bought a drum set for, I think, $60 from a friend of mine. And, you know, we'd wait till my parents left and would just record a drum part, a guitar part.
You on drums.
Over it.
John, this is you on drums.
So yeah, this is me on drums.
So you taught yourself drums.
Yeah, no, I was kind of writing and recording my own songs before I ever played in a band.
Do you remember your first? You know. Do you remember your first song you wrote?
I remember the first like batch of songs I wrote. You know, they were all right. You know, sounded terrible, but you know,
you got to start somewhere, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Can you remember your first lyrics? Always the first lyrics are the corniest. Can you remember your first ones?
So embarrassing. And yes, I do still remember them.
Let's hear it. Because I'll tell you one of my first ones. You want to hear some cornball shit. Go ahead.
Oh, God. You're really going to make me do this right now?
Just a little one.
Jesus, okay. Imperfect now and evermore, new mortal bodies give us more to struggle for, to fall short of perfection. Oh, Jesus. It's just, can I just stop there?
Like, you can stop. You can stop.
It only gets worse.
Okay, now here's mine. Here's mine. Now, I've got to just give you, the chorus is the same as the title. Mr. Bass, King of Outer Space. Obviously, there was some inferiority complex issues. And the rest of the lyrics is about me playing some solo where the rest of the band gets blown off. That's the only song I wrote in my whole teenage years.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because there wasn't a culture for writing songs in the early 70s. So I commend you for right away getting a mic, getting a drum set, and just going for it. So, you know, imperfect form, inception, whatever that should, that's okay.
Got to start somewhere.
So let's talk about, what's your first band after the songwriting,
well,
Man Alone period?
Well, I met this kid who I'm on, who actually lives in Berkeley now, too. He lives in the East Bay. But we started a band together called the Nina Pinta, where he played drums and I sang, and my friend played bass. And it was, like, really, like, you know, sort of like Sonic Youth Inspired, like, a lot of...
But the name
like
is, like...
freak-out parts.
Columbus?
Yeah, two of Columbus's boats.
Exactly. The name, yeah, I still think it's...
What'd you have against the Santa Maria?
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Since that's the only one who made it back, only one of them made it back. Pizza,
yeah,
I think, was
the Santa Maria.
He's the painted up one, yeah, the gussied up one. Okay, so do you remember you guys did gigs?
Oh yeah, we played. We were popular. Oh,
okay,
our,
tell me about your first
high
gig.
School.
Tell me about your first gig. You're in high school. What are you playing? Talent show?
Oh God. Well, we actually got to play this sort of like bar and grill type place that was, you know, sort of family friendly.
Okay.
And I, you know, there were 10 people there, you know, and they were all our friends. And I just remember my knees shaking the entire time I was singing. Just, I was so nervous. I could just feel my knees shaking underneath me. And that's the first time I ever sang in front of people.
Okay.
So
success.
And it got easier. But
okay. Well, what happened to them?
That was rough.
What happened to the Nina Pinatas?
I think I got a really cool haircut. I just was, like, so confident after that. I got, like, this really Morrissey-looking haircut and started wearing numbers only jackets.
What kind of haircut? What did he say?
A Morrissey-type haircut. I was really trying to look like a member of the Smiths during this period.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, he's got a kind of severe haircut. I saw him on an airplane once. He said he's kind of a tripper. But, I'll tell you this, what's great about him, you know it's him singing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I think that's great, you know? There's only so many notes. You got to make things somehow a little different. Okay, so you think your haircut broke up the band?
Oh, no, it gave me the confidence to be a front man. And then I probably also... I think the band just broke up because everyone was serious about having, you know, having real careers after high school. They all went on to be professionals, and I was kind of the only one who still... you know, wanted to be in my high school band, but
yeah,
you
can make that a profession. You can make music a profession. I've heard about that. So what's the next band? Is the next band Surfer Blood?
Yeah, the next band is sort of the first incarnation of Surfer Blood. I was in this hardcore band for a while.
Okay.
Bass, you know, wasn't really my band. But, you know, like 45 second songs, really thrashy, blast beats.
You play bass?
I did. I played bass. I played a, you know, a Mexican P bass at the time.
Yeah, great. Yeah, Fender P. Yeah. They're good.
Mm-hmm.
I had one for a few years. What was that band called?
That band was called The Wreck.
Did you guys do any recording?
We did. We made like a...
You're talking West Palm Beach. Do you remember a place there called Foo Bar? It was in a strip mall.
Maybe.
It was in a strip mall. I played in West Palm Beach. And the same night I played, Buddy Miles was playing. They couldn't get him down the stairs. Yeah, I remember hearing from the boss there. West Palm Beach was just sticking in my head. Yeah, there was a strip mall club there called Foo Bar. Like, fucked up beyond all recognition.
Oh, nice. I don't remember that. Maybe I'm a little too young for that. But there
No, that's okay. That's okay. I didn't mean to get on a tangent. So... What's the band name with the television? That's the band that turns into Surfer Blood?
Yeah, it was called TV Club.
TV Club,
To be honest, we just hated that fucking name. The drummer and me, who, you know, he still plays in the band.
Yeah, it's kind of a lame name.
Yeah, it was a bad name, and we were just, you know, there were two other guys in the band, and they both loved it, and we hated it, and you know, this is just growing up in the, you know, the 2000s era. We would go
this is why
in the middle
you do,
of the night.
John, this is why you do trios.
Exactly. You can't have an even number. Like the Supreme Court, yeah. But anyway, we would go on the MySpace page in the middle of the night, and we would change the band name to just, you know, kind of like fucked up names. Just because we, you know, really just crying out for attention, I guess, and just, you know. And then we'd get so mad, and we would have a big talk, and we would change it back, and this went on for a while. And then one of the guys had to leave the band because, you know, his girlfriend got pregnant, and they were going to have the kid, and they were going to get married. And he just, like, couldn't, you know, we wanted to do more. We wanted to tour. We wanted to, you know, book more shows. We didn't care. We just wanted to get out of Florida. But he didn't want to, so he left. That's when we finally got, you know.
Yeah, people might not realize, but South Florida, because of the bend, I mean, you're far out there.
Yeah.
You're further out than Iowa. You know, people think Nebraska, Iowa, all these things backwater. But, man, South Florida is out there. You do a gig, a tour out there, you got 5 Florida gigs, and they're all spread out.
Mm.
I mean, it's a big place. So I understand what you mean. Yes. You guys had different itinerary, priority. That's the word. Okay, and so when Fam Gone, do you get to pick a new band name?
Yeah, we pick Surfer Blood. That's
okay.
That comes pretty naturally.
How's this? Because do you guys surf? Is there a lot of surfing in West Palm Beach?
A lot of the guys do. I do too. You know, it's like little waves. It only in the winter. It's not like
the
West Coast or anything.
I remember in the summertime, the sand is really, Brother Matt, the sand is really white, fine. And the water gets really green sometimes. Not green gross, but like turquoise. It's really righteous. It's different than West Coast. Yeah, have you noticed?
Oh, I love the beach.
Also, it's a lot warmer. The water's a lot warmer there in Atlantic. So where did the Surfer Blood name come from?
Well, our drummer at the time, you know, he is a surfer guy, and he was all about it in high school. He had all the gear, you know, the
did he make his
t-shirts.
Own boards?
Did he write his own drum parts? Yeah, kind
no,
of.
No,
he's
no,
no.
Did he make his own surfboards?
Oh, no, he never made his own surfboards.
Well, George Hurley made his own surfboards, and George Hurley went to Hawaii twice, made his own boards. It kicked his ass. He gave up surfing to do drums. He got Happy Jack album and headphones and taught himself drums. And now, a couple years ago, he went back
again?
To surfing.
Cool.
Yeah, 40
cool.
years later.
Mm-hmm.
So tell your drummer man that. So he came up with the name, huh?
Well, I kind of came up. Well, we came up with it together. I was making fun of him because we went on this weekend trip. We went up to, like, I don't know, Gainesville or one of those college towns. Because
our
friends were, like, having a show.
Yeah.
And he had, like, this ridiculous, like, surfer bag or, like, a place for, like, his, like, board wax and just all this shit, you know? And I was just making fun of him. I'm like, oh, you're so cool. And
especially Orlando. There's not, what'd you say, Gainesville? Yeah, there's not a lot of surfing. It's like in the middle of the state.
Exactly, yeah. He brought like this backpack, and he got really defensive. He got, you know, a little offended that maybe he went too far. And he said,
got bullied.
He said, you wouldn't understand because you don't surf, and it's in my blood. I have surfer's blood.
And
it was just one of those things where he didn't know he was being funny, but I was just cracked up. I thought it was so,
you know.
Yeah, I thought,
you know, when I was younger, a little bit younger, you guys were just started, and I heard your name, I thought it was surfer, like peasants and surfs. I didn't know the spelling. I thought it was with the E. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, January 17th, 2017, edition of Walk Peter Show. Special guest, John Paul Pitts from East Bay. Me and Brother Matt, hold tight for hour 2. January 17th, 2017, it's the second hour. Watt for Pedro's show.
My lipstick bell makes from the 70s. some Zeppelin 1 and 2. Once the Kraken has been fed that everything's cool.
Thank you. come please your papa. Please me how you used to do. I asked her, please tell me what can I do. I asked her, please tell me what can I do. How could you, baby, leave a love that's so true? When the worry turns to trouble, baby, evil ain't far behind. When the worry turns to trouble, baby, evil ain't far behind. You left me with a murder, evil on my mind.
faces in her purse signifies a lifetime. Pictures in their frames, bundles of old letters, objects obviously not of any daily use. Their weight is significant to her, even though she may be just holding her balance. It is a life distilled to these useless things, as precious as a life in the hands that grip the modest leather bag, repository of life, still loved her story.
Waffle Fever show start off the second hour with Frozen in the Armory. Surf for Blood, new album. Who was the other guys that started the band? Who was the drummer man's name? Was it Tyler?
Yep, you got it. Tyler Jerry.
So he's still in the band, yeah.
Yeah, he still plays with us.
And you had a couple other bass players, but you had a guitar man. And Brother Matt, it's such a tragic thing. This cancer came up and just, like with my pop, like in a few months. Just,
oh, man.
Yeah, it was last year.
Yeah.
His name was Thomas, right?
Yeah, he was 27 years old when he died.
Man.
He got to make a record, right? So, like Burner or something? I remember
his
wife writing me when it happened.
He did. He did that in the middle of chemo treatment. Right. Wow. Which is really amazing because I know that he was, you know, nauseous, could barely walk the whole time. So the fact that he still, you know, recorded that record pretty much on his bedroom floor with a four track is, you know, amazing. He was able to do that.
Really beautiful. But you guys did get to do a couple albums before that and a bunch of tours, right? So that was your goal. And that's what you wanted to do, make records and tour, right?
Exactly. That's what I've always wanted to do. And, you know, I've looked back at, you know, our career, and I feel like I spent so many years.
Well, look, you know, I come from a situation where mainly got into music to be with my friends. So what can you say about your friend for people?
Well, that's just what I was going to say is, like, you know, we played 300 shows in 2010.
Wow.
You know, signed to a major label, made that record, got dropped from the major label, made a record in, you know, our drummer's parents' living room. So we kind of got to do all of it together. And, you know, I feel like at the time I was always questioning, like, what should we be doing differently? Like, this is like, you know, this, if only we had, like, planned more, if done things smarter. And now now that, you know, Tom is not with us anymore, it's kind of amazing that, you know, I got to spend 4 years of my life traveling around the world with my best friends, and now I wouldn't trade that for anything, you know?
Yeah.
And I think what I miss the most about him is, you know, he had amazing taste in music. You know, I would show him a song, he would show me 10 bands that it reminded him of. You know, he introduced me to like 9 out of 10 of my favorite bands, who I would have never heard of without him.
So
he
was all over. He was deep that way.
He was. He worked in a record store before when I met him.
Oh,
he was,
yeah, yeah.
You know, and
there was a lot of that.
Those guys.
If you can believe it, there was a lot of that in the old days. A lot of the cats in the old days scene were deep into records. Wow, I'm glad to. That's still going on.
Yeah.
And in fact, with the internet, maybe it's got some more resources that way. I have young people telling me information about my days. But, yeah. Anyway, this new Snowdonia, this new album.
You got it.
Snowdonia. So it must have been trippy to make without Tom.
It was. Honestly, the whole time we've been a band, I've sort of depended on him for, you know, for affirmations and to tell me if I was on the right track and to, you know, I really, you know, respected his taste so much that I was always just sort of, you know, being like, what do you think of this? What do we need to do to this song? And, you know, not having that for this one was, you know, I felt very much alone when I was sort of writing all these new songs, and, you know, it was still a really great, you know, productive time for me, but, you know, I couldn't help but kind of think in the back of my head, what would Thomas think about this when I was working on a lot of the new stuff?
Yeah, yeah. And, so did you get the tunes together? Because the band kind of changed lineup, of course. You brought in this guy, Mike, on guitar?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we've known, and Mike he was a high school band kid, and he's a surfer, and he's just one of those guys.
Okay.
That's good. Anything he tries, yeah.
From the old days.
So he learned all the songs in the van all the way to Austin to play a bunch of South by Southwest shows, and it's a trooper for doing it.
And then this, the bass, you got a lady now?
We do. We got Lindsay, who's also a friend from high school. We all went to the same high school in West Palm.
Cool.
sets a trip. Okay, that's great. You went back to the old breeding ground. Yeah. Because some people, you know, stepping stone, bye-bye, never coming back. That strip you circled back, that's righteous. So for you, the personal connection means a lot.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, like, someone could be a great musician and have great chops, and that's, you know, that's amazing. But at the end of the day, you have to get in the van with this person, you know, every day for a month at a time. And
no, I totally know what you mean. There's nothing,
best.
There's nothing like... You know, you can, if a tune is tough, you can prack. If you got fucked up personality, prack don't help.
there's no getting out of that. So yeah, personal connection for me.
No, that's
people you can rely on. People who aren't dramatic. That's really important to me for picking a band. Yeah.
Look, it's time to bring Brother Matt aboard with some spin cyclics. I've been hankering. I've been jonesing. Bring it, Brother Matt.
Cool.
The knowledge you will learn at my seminar will make you financially independent for the rest of your life.
One of my recent transactions, I walked away with a check for $15,010.50. I took the Tom Vu Profit Seminar. It has worked for me. It has made me financially secure. You can do it too.
You don't have to ask your boss for a raise anymore. You can give yourself the best raise of your life. Come to my seminar.
Look at the lips, how they don't play.
sounds of Entertainment Law.
Entertainment, that was Entertainment Law.
Yeah, they're cool. They were here a few months ago, huh?
That's right. One of the best band names ever, Entertainment Law. So, Brother Matt, what made you do what you just did to us right now?
Well, some recent influences. I took my nephew to go see P-Funk.
Yeah.
So I figure it's part of being a good uncle.
How old?
14.
14.
Yeah.
First P-Funk gig.
Yeah. And then I just got back from Chicago seeing Buddy Guy at playing with his club
about
at Legends. That was cool. That was pretty much just a trip to Chicago to see Buddy Guy.
2-1 here.
Yeah, yeah. I had to go get those single digits. Man, I never been so cold. I'm a weather pussy being from West Coast.
Yeah, what's your Oak town like for you, John, coming from Florida? A little bit colder, huh?
It's a little bit colder.
Still kind of fall here. Drier, I see that.
Yeah.
Less humid.
Yeah, and then just to squeeze in on that, Chicago got some Toys That Kill since the Pedro boys were in town.
I heard some Toys That Kill in your spin cycle.
Yeah, yeah.
Brother Matt, I played some Toys That Kill too, but I only got to the first tune because I asked John here about Frozen in the Army. Actually, I never got to find out what that tune's about. Army's where you usually keep the guns, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes they have gigs at remember there used to be gigs at the National Guard Army?
Yeah, Armory. Yeah, he said wrestling there and gigs.
So John, what's this tune, Frozen in the Armory?
This one's about, you know, pretty transparently our time being on a major label and just going to that crazy Warner Brothers office in Burbank and just having the people work there just bring out things like, you know, like, oh, here's a master reel from, like, Pet Sounds, no big deal, and just, like, casually throw stuff out there like that. You know, just kind of hanging out, like, doing business with those people and then kind of, like, going to a bar with them afterwards and just, like, sort of trying to figure out the entire situation and being 23 years old and super confused by the whole thing. So,
oh, yeah, like, oh, they're taking us out to eat. No, you're taking yourselves out to eat. It's recoupable.
I know, I had like so many questions the entire time. I was too afraid to ask, and now looking back, probably should have asked, but, you know.
Actually, John, by the time you got into it, it was over for them. You heard about the deals that young people have to sign now? It's called 360, like part of your gigs, part of your shirts.
Man.
Fuck that.
Oh, yeah, no, I've heard about that. We were probably the last band who didn't have to do one of those. But yeah,
anyway, I should mention the other songs we played after Frozen in the Armory. Luckily, Surf of Blood was not frozen. They thawed out and got back into the ring. But we had Radiator of Love with D.E.R. from the Joshua Tree. This cat gave me that.
Cool.
Brother Matt. Cholera from Harper Cold out of Switzerland. Light, Tokyo, brand new. Square, Luke Winslow King, another new release out of Bloodshot Chicago. Esther, Please, Mal Divisa with Fat. Yeah, maybe Spain. I can't remember. Toys That Kill, of course, Pedro's own. Joe Brewer, out of Madison, Jack Brewer's cousin.
Yeah.
Notes for a Poem. And finally, Mini Beast, I Buy Junk Gold. That's Brother Pete from Volcano Sun, Mission to Burma, living in Providence.
Cool. Now,
we're at the end of the second hour, 2017, January 17, Dishwap Pedro Show. Brother Matt, myself, our special guest, John Paul Pitts, out of Oaktown, talking about the Surf of Blood. Hold tight for hour three. January 17, 2017, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Thank you. You feel God can love you and give you what you need. You feel God can love you and give you what you need. But I'm too old to go chasing you around, wasting my precious energy. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Said I don't want to leave you lonely, you gotta make me change my mind.
For Pedro Show, start off the third hour with Surfer Blood off their new album, Six Flags and Effigy. I've been enlightened to John, the songwriter here, that he was open-minded to let, you can play the song in either key, right?
Yep, sure can.
Okay, and any you want to get into the tune any more than that?
I kind of like standard tuning these days.
Man, it's like a song. Do you have anything to say about that song? You want to speak for itself?
I think it can speak for itself. It's a it's a pretty crazy one, but hope you like it.
I liked it. And then we had Thoughts of W from Clay Chaplin. He was here with Heather.
Oh yeah.
Remember from the D-Day. Mota.
Yeah.
They grew Mota for me.
Yeah. Swamp weed.
Swamp weed. Marsh weed. The Meredith Hunters were all I got. I was wondering, why would somebody name their fucking band the Meredith Hunters? It must be somebody named Meredith Hunter. There is somebody named Meredith Hunter. And in fact, he was murdered not too far from where you are, John. Altamont. He's the brother who gets stabbed.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, so this guy's named their band after this guy.
Immortalizing.
I guess you're running out of names.
And then, that's pretty funny.
Blood Quartet after that, Dark Energy 74, they're out of Spain. Flat. In fact, they got one of the cats from Mars, if you remember No Wave out of New York. Danny Barnes, Flathead, Phillips World. Flathead and Phillips World. he's out of... what did he give me this gig? Highland Park. Yeah, the new Highland Park. It looked like a movie set. Suspenders, wax mustaches. I couldn't believe it. Used to be a Latin working class neighborhood.
All gentrified.
Things change, yeah. Brandy Tim Brewer, cousin of Jack Brewer, with Give Me One Reason, live. And then finally, Babes, New York City with Let's Go to the Beach. Okay. We got John Paul Pitts here from Surfer Blood. What's the plan? You got some gigs coming up, right?
We do. We got a whole national tour. Got some Europe dates. So I'm about to be really busy. I think I leave on next a week from today, and not gonna be back for a long time.
8 days.
8 days. Yep, 8 days at home, and then it's tour.
Okay. Is this the first tour since?
Since Thomas. Yeah. Well, we did some dates with. The famous Guided by Voices last November.
All right.
Which was sort of a dream come true for all of us.
Well, let's right now thank David Newgard.
I know. Thank you, David.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dayton's own. Thanks. Mr. Robert Pollard.
Exactly. I got to meet Robert Pollard, and that was a dream. And
he's written a couple songs.
Sorry, go ahead.
He's written a couple songs. I mean, the guy's
a couple prolific. Songs.
I wish I could write a tenth of the songs he writes.
I think he was on his third LP this year or something when he was touring, so that's about par for the course for him. So maybe it's a little bit of a slow year.
Slow year. So what's this coming up? So it's the whole country, and then you go over to Europe? Where can people get information on the Internet from you, John?
Well, you can check out our state-of-the-art website. It's www.surferblood.com.
People,
it's really slick, so.
That's SurferBlood, not
S-E-R-F.
not
Surfdom Blood.
This isn't Bruegel the Even Younger. Do you remember these painters? They're kind of influenced by Mr. Bosch, but this guy and his daddy. Their subject matter, they didn't paint rich people.
Oh.
They paint, the famous one is... Well, Victory of Death, but the other one is Peasant Wedding.
Oh.
Like, you didn't paint...
Oh, wow.
You didn't paint peasant people having weddings 500 years ago.
So are you talking about, like, all those Norse Renaissance guys? Or those guys were...
Yeah, Flemish guys.
Some pretty
Flemish
gruesome
cat.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so they drew art of the people. So, Surfer's all right, though. Yeah. But anyway, that's where you can go to get information on this... very excited to do it, right? You're going to be gone a couple of months.
Yeah, I'm going to do the West Coast first while the weather's, can't do the East Coast yet. It's too cold.
That's right.
Then go to Europe and then go up to the Northeast for some shows in like April when the weather's nice.
Home?
So.
You go back to Florida or the South? Or?
Oh, yeah, I'm flying into Florida a little early. Going to spend some time with my mom.
Yeah, but what about gigs?
Oh, we're playing West Palm in Miami.
Okay.
I guess like our two hometown shows.
Okay.
Playing this place called Respectable Street in West Palm. That's sort of an institution there. So looking forward to that.
You'll probably play some gigs on the way, like Jacksonville or I don't know, Pensacola or Gainesville or Tallahassee.
Oh yeah, we played
Orlando.
We played all those places so many times over the years. Yeah, it sounds about right.
Okay, what about this tune here? This is the opus for the album, Snowdonia. Maybe this guy living in Moscow now?
Well, I don't know. This is one of those ones that when I sat down to write this record, I was trying to, I was trying not to think about something as the chorus of a song or as the verse and like, oh, we'll repeat that later and it's going to, I was just trying to put parts together in like a really cohesive, flowing way. And this song is sort of the first one I wrote with that kind of mindset. And then I had a dream where I met this woman named Snowdonia, and she was like this like this muse, kind of, like this, like, Greek muse, and she was just sort of, like, floating in space, like, I don't know, like the Oracle of Delphi or something. And I woke up and sort of wrote the lyrics to this, and it eventually became the title for the whole album. And then I learned that Snowdonia is a national park in Wales over in the UK. So,
wow. So there's kind of like...
Really strange.
Welsh connect, and here I was thinking Moscow.
Totally yeah.
Wrong again. Okay, let's listen to it here, John. The first song written, but also ended up being the title song.
The title track, yeah.
Eponymous. Here we go, Snowdonia. Walk from Pedro Show. The last music for this edition, Snowdonia, Surfer Blood. Then we had Layman doing I Saw You. I think they're out of the valley here, San Fernando Valley. Then King Champion Sounds out of Holland with Story Stuck. The Swifter, that's Andrea Belfi, drummer man from Il Sogno di Marinaio living in Berlin. His prod, the Swifter, with Steel Murmuration. Cool. And finally, More Good Days by On Dolphin. You know where I found this CD, Brother Matt? After the gig a couple weeks ago in Pacifica, it rained hard. This dude stuck a bare-necked CD between the windshield wiper and the fucking windshield, so when I turned on them blades, that baby came scraping it. That's On Dolphin. Okay. John, you must have younger people. I mean, you ain't even 30 yet, right?
I just turned 30 in 2016.
What was that like? I don't. That's why I asked.
Don't feel that much different than I did when I was 29.
Yeah,
but
of course. It's just a number. It's just a number.
Find people don't trust you as much anymore.
No one feels sorry for you anymore when you're 30. You know, you say, "Oh, I have all this shit to do. I have all these responsibilities. Yeah. I have I feel like shit." And people are like, "Oh, yeah, it's because you're old now." And you know, that's just that's the way it's going to be forever now.
Word. There's just less young. The old word is out. There's just less young. No more. But anyway, people that are even less young than just turned 30. Do they ask you, you ever get asked for advice? What advice would you give them about this? Because we were just talking a little bit about the label thing. But what would be your advice about music, period?
Oh, well, you know, I guess write as much as you can. Always be writing. Never stop. Don't take a break from it because you just get better and better at it the more you do it. I always tell people, young bands, to play as much as they can outside of their hometown for strangers. It's great. And one thing I've been telling people recently that I've learned in the past few years is never go through a drive-through with your band, like a fast food drive-through, Taco Bell. Don't do it because, you know, you try and split it up. It never works out. It's just a huge pain. Just go into the actual restaurant.
Order individually.
That's a great tip. No one's ever given us that one before.
Here's another tip. If you want real Mexican chow, don't go to Taco Bell.
Also, don't go to Taco Bell.
No. Look, it's been great having you aboard. I wish you all the luck. Please, safe skis to you. Keep the keel in the water. And I know you're going to work as hard as you can for the people who come to your gigs.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Right on, John.
Brother Matt, thank you for your always essential aid in a bet.
Pleasure.
People, it's been January 17, 2017, Dish of Wife for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.